Spirit led him. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby,
and took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Well, greetings. This is Pastor David, and I'm here with my good brother,
Pastor Barry.
Yes, and this is Glorious Day. We're so excited to be here. We're starting, as you know, we always do a series of three programs on a particular theme. Those who've been following will remember that the last three programs had to do with the home church. And, you know, we wanted to present that because while it's not a new model of church, it is an emerging model now that's becoming more popular.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one of the many ways in which God, you know, brings his people together to worship, to grow in discipleship, to praise him, and to learn ministry. And so, and we hope we said enough that we were not downgrading the bricks and mortar churches because we know God's out there working in so many of those congregations, and we don't want to leave you, we're not going to leave you in the dust, as it were. But the next three programs are really going to focus on characteristics of leadership in the church. Now, that would therefore mean whatever model of church you're in, home church, bricks and mortar church, do you have a little worship group in your where you work, you know, in your lunchroom? Do you, when you go to a tailgate party at a game, do you pop the tailgate and have prayer and Bible study or whatever you do, you know? There are some essential characteristics of the leaders, and we're going to lift up three in these next three programs. So the first one, the theme for tonight in terms of leadership, and frankly, friends are going to say, well, I'm surprised, you know, I'm not surprised you figured this one out, and that is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, if you're thinking, well, that's expected. I mean, that's normal. No, it's not. Listen, friends.
You'd be surprised. You'd be, you know, it sounds like we're Captain Obvious.
Right.
But we are not.
No. There are many pastors, and I'm not going to mention names, that I've run into over the last 40 actually, since I've known the Lord 45 years, that I really had to wonder if they knew the Lord. They knew a lot about him. They got stuff crammed in their heads in seminaries, and you know, they were very smart and erudite in their expressions of their faith and all that, or their what they believed, but they just didn't seem to have that, the edge of belief, the true relationship with Jesus, and that makes all the difference. And if you're a leader of any kind, not just the senior pastor, you know, or any of the other pastoral staff, but there's a lot of lay leadership in the bigger churches, and you know. Does your leadership know Jesus, or do they just know about him? Okay, so I'm going to ask Pastor Barry, there's a scripture we're going to use as a foundation for this program, and would you read it, my brother?
I would love to, brother. That's Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. The word of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, brother. I mean, it's right there, is that relationship with the Lord, personal relationship, gives leaders what they need. And of course, if you're a leader, what are you going to do? Lead people in the way that you are. And if you have Jesus in your heart, this is what you want for them.
In your heart, not your head.
Right. Oh, how do you know, Barry, you've probably run into people that like this, that they know a lot about Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
They, you know?
They're like a doctor of Jesusology.
Yeah, right.
In their head.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
And they love to impress people with what they know. And some of them have even, now in my experience, okay,
right,
I will say that some of them have even risen to the level of being teachers in the church.
Oh, yeah.
And teaching Bible studies and teaching other things. And I mean, at a certain point, okay, the information they have can be helpful. Mm-hmm. But if you, as a leader, are not asking the Lord how you should exercise your ministry, asking for his wisdom, as Paul says to the church in Ephesus, that if you don't have that relationship with Jesus in the heart, the spirit of wisdom is not necessarily going to be yours.
Mm-hmm.
And the knowledge of him, the knowledge of him that comes from knowing him.
Not about him.
Not about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so much that not so much, that's probably a bad phrase, but there's a lot. Sounds like I said the same thing. All right, there are some things. I feel better about that.
Let me get my thesaurus. I'm going to find another
word. Yeah, right.
Here.
I thought thesauruses died out 65 million years ago. Anyway, but no, and please, if you're listening, I'm a creationist at heart, so I don't believe that 65 million years ago things were happening. But anyway, I really don't want cards and letters and stuff, you know, pounding me on the head, because I know exactly what the Bible says. But the point being that I hope I can remember where I'm going. As we both had a tough week.
Well, I can fill in the blank for you.
Would you please help me out,
sure,
here, bro?
Sure, David. He's talking about the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of him, yes.
Hmm.
But then in 18 we have having the eyes of your hearts enlightened.
Yeah.
That's a big difference.
Big.
You know, yeah. You think about all of you out there who have a loved one. Perhaps you're sitting on the couch listening to the radio, holding hands after 46 years. I pray that that happens, David.
Yeah.
But did you fall in love with that person with your brain or your heart?
Mm.
That's an important question, because you can equate falling in love with the love of your life with falling in love with Jesus, the ultimate
Amen.
Love in your life. I have a story.
Well, I'm so amazed. Barry has some great stories, and I want to hear this one, bro.
Well, I've known some people, particularly homeless people, that have made some choices in their lives, and they felt they knew about Jesus, but they made these choices anyway, and these choices were self-destructive, and it really they were on a course to end their life, and one particular fella, I don't want to mention his name, was a former biker, fighter, bar fighter, world traveling bad guy, who said he broke all the commandments more than once.
Yeah.
And he was a very angry man, David.
Mm.
And when I brought up the name of Jesus Christ to him, he got angrier.
Mm.
Oh, I know all about him. When I was a kid, blah, blah, blah.
And he equated that pain that he felt with all the other pains in his life, his childhood, some abuse, things like that. And so he never really got to know Jesus, but having a Bible beaten into his head when he was a child, he knew chapter and verse.
Yeah.
It was all there, but there was no heart knowledge.
Right.
And in a series of meetings with them, he finally had his breakdown, or breakthrough, excuse me. And in tears, he revealed to me something that was really the source of his anger, is that he told the truth, that he did know Jesus, but he turned his back on him.
Oh.
And he stopped speaking to Jesus, and he ran away from Jesus.
Mm.
Friends, you can't do that. Just personally, I'm saying you can't run away from him. He's everywhere.
Yeah.
But he felt like he had hurt Jesus in his behavior and his decisions. Stiff-necked decisions they were.
Yes.
And when he came back to Jesus, it took just a few days of crying alligator tears and repentance. And if you met the man today, he'll tell you that he's in love. He's in love with Jesus.
Yeah.
He stops by churches and trims their trees and then drives away in his old broke-down pickup truck, whistling and smiling. He goes to a church here in Florida. And the big tough guy, and he was a big tough guy, 6'5", about 270.
Mm.
He guards all the church ladies' purses while they go to meetings. He takes them to their doctor's appointments.
Yeah.
He lectures them on good diets and exercise. He calls himself the largest church lady in their church. And what are you going to do about it? Because I got Jesus.
Amen.
And he just makes me smile whenever I think about him, because that's it, folks. You can know all about him, but if you haven't taken that next step and drawn him into your heart, saying, yes, I want you to live here.
Amen.
I don't care what you know. It doesn't mean anything.
You know, a point that, came across to me when you're telling a story mm-hmm. is that here was a man who, you know, from the worldview, would be a scary guy.
Oh, very.
But that this guy, you know, all six, what did you say, 6'7"?
No, 6'5".
6'5".
No fat, 270.
Okay, so I mean, he was he's a big, tough guy. But the thing is, and this is, I believe, this is a one common truth for people that haven't given their lives to Christ, is he was afraid.
Afraid
of Jesus.
And the fear becomes anger.
Anger, yep.
And then violence, yep. And on it goes, David.
So back to say, well, my pastor is not 6'5 and 270, you know. But the point is that, you know, nobody comes out of any leadership training. They come out with tools, yes, but they have to go in with Jesus and come out with him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've always been concerned as pastors, you know, that, you know, whether you're a part of our church or whoever's church you're a part of, that you have good leadership.
Mm.
And it's probably, I'm going to say it's true, because I know it's true, that today's the state of, I'm going to say America today,
mm-hmm.
That the condition of I'm trying to think of the state of the nation with all the issues that we're dealing with today, the chaos,
right,
and all the, you know, the national sin. I mean, abortion and gender dysphoria and stuff like that is it happens because people don't step up with the guidance that God gives them, the wisdom that leaders are supposed to have, the enlightened hearts that leaders have. And all of that, if you're a leader and you have these, if you have Jesus, Jesus mm-hmm. is going to want you to stand up and speak to the culture and speak the word of God to the culture, wherever you are,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily nationally, but wherever you are. And because I'm going to say a large percentage of Christian leaders haven't said anything, our nation is in the state it's in right now.
It's easier, David, to quietly sit on your hands and be politically correct. I'll say the word, politically correct.
Yeah.
Because if you speak the truth in love, you're still going to offend people.
Yeah.
But you're not doing them any favors. Okay, can you imagine if Jesus, you're sitting there on the Sermon on the Mount, and he knew that some monkey business was going on in that crowd. We don't know how many thousands of people, but hey, we all have stuff.
Yeah.
And he tried to lighten his message up.
Hmm.
Just round off the rough edges, David.
Yeah.
Wouldn't our Bible look different? You know.
Oh, we even have it today. If
yeah, he did not do that.
He
spoke
didn't.
The truth. And he spoke it in a way that it was received.
Yeah.
He wasn't pontificating to these people, and he wasn't talking at them.
No.
It was almost conversational.
Yeah.
You know, he never, according to what I've learned, he's never said, oh, you know what I mean. But he approached them where they were in
yeah.
their sin nature. And a lot of pastors, could learn a lot from that if they'd go back to the beginning. You know, you and I have both taught people a little bit here and there about how to present the word.
Yes.
And I always say, you know, you might want to go to the Sermon on the Mount because the Master's speaking. Look
yeah.
what he did.
Yeah.
You know, why would you want to change, you know, to fit your style, if you will, or your political problem that you're having in your country? No. The message hasn't changed.
No.
And I love his approach on everything because I love him. And I love his love for people because you see it. You see when people accept the message given by his holy word, and you just see a change.
Yeah.
You see a genuine warm smile where there wasn't one. You know, you and I have both been with people as they were passing away. We both worked as chaplains, and sometimes yeah. there are people that right to the bitter end are someone who knew all about Jesus
yeah.
but never met him.
And that knowledge has not really helped them.
Not help them. They're still in a state of panic and sheer terror in the final moments of their life.
Yeah.
And then when you bring them to Christ and you bring them to the cross and you step back, and there's that moment that we've seen, David, where it's a moment that's a gift to the person bringing them to Christ, if you will. It's almost like God saying, okay, I'm going to let you see what's going on here. I'm not going to tear up. I know I'm tired, but I'm a big fat crybaby. But I've had people in their final breath take a deep breath and smile. A tear runs down their cheek and they nod, yes, yes, Jesus, yes. And you know they're not talking to you anymore.
No, no.
And that's a gift. We get to see that.
It is a gift.
And they're not saying yes to any scripture that they were forced to memorize or any information. No, they're talking to him. That's
exactly
personal.
Yeah.
That is personal. And you know, when we see leaders in the church, we need to speak up if someone in a church is talking at people. Maybe they might say they were called into service. People, there are folks that call themselves into service.
Yeah.
Not just
yes.
And there's a big difference there.
Yeah.
Not all of us were meant to do this. We're called to do this. I'm not disparaging anybody who steps forward and volunteers in a church, but they need to be counseled before they take that position. They need to be tested, David.
Mm-hmm.
Who called you to do this? Well, I've always had a good voice.
Yeah.
I'm good at memorizing things. Why, I was a school teacher for 20 years. Good. Now let's talk about Jesus. The job that I'm working in right now, David, I wasn't hired until the owner of the company took me aside from the boardroom table and says, that's all fine and good. A little Southern lady talks like that. Tell me who Jesus is. And we had a good hour's conversation about what Jesus has done in my life and how dependent I am every moment of my life for him and the Holy Spirit to guide me. And we both teared up, and she said, come on aboard. She was testing me, David.
Right.
Because I'm out there representing this to folks that are in pain or folks that are lost.
Yep.
So if you're a pastor out there, and I pray that you do the same thing. That's all well and good.
Mm-hmm.
Credentials came back. But even the background check came back good. You haven't robbed any 7-Eleven. So tell me who Jesus is in your heart. That's a yes or no question.
Yep.
Whether you're going to put them up in the position that they're looking to go into.
And that's a fundamental question.
Absolutely.
You know, I hope everyone listening to us will agree with me. I don't need you to agree with me from an ego standpoint, but this is a basic truth of God believers, and that is that the church, the body of Christ, is a vital and important community for the people of God,
right?
Because those who do know Jesus come together and worship, and they train to get stronger in their faith and in their in the work that God's called them to do. They work with, hopefully, leaders who know how to help people get a sense of their spiritual gifts and how to apply them, you know, and all of this stuff. Because you're talking about the most important thing in any human life. That's eternal life.
That's right.
That's the work of the church, is to bring people to Jesus Christ and disciple them so that they can do the same. That's the job description. So let me pose this, and this is why we're so focused on good, solid, godly leadership in the church, and why you as a listener, if you're not a pastor, maybe just a member of the congregation, you're still in a position to discern what God would have you do, either to encourage your leaders if they're following the path that God's laid out for them, if they know Jesus and they're bringing people to Christ and providing a strong environment for discipleship, or if on the other end, you know, it's really clear they need someone to say to them, you know, this is all well and good, but you need to know Jesus first. You know, I know that says, why would I tell my pastor to? Well, if God, you got to ask God. If you're a Christian, what does God want you to do? Does he want you to not say anything and let your pastor stumble around for the rest of his life and not help himself, his family, and the family of the church? I mean, this is important. But think of it this way. If you, in every other venue where you have a need, you want, let's say you go to a professional, let's say you go to a doctor or an attorney or a CPA, those three, you want them to have had not just the training that comes from college and all that, but you know, they want them to really have a heart for what they're doing. I mean, I have seen professionals that didn't have a heart for it, you know, and it can be very disastrous, all right?
I've seen that too.
How critical. If you think that using those professionals is important to you, then how important, how much more important it is for leaders in the church who are, if you will, managing an environment that should be bringing people to Christ, because it's your eternal life now and the eternal life of those to whom you were sent.
Well, I go back to David, that great white throne judgment, and how many people in that line that maybe even went to a church for a while and they were not introduced to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Now, we all have a personal responsibility, yes, Christ or no Christ. You know, David and I were pastoring a church, and there was a woman that was always there a little early praying.
Yeah.
And one day I asked her, I said, not that it's any of my business, but you're here early, and you always go off to a quiet corner, and can I do something for you? And she said, oh, no. I was taught from a young age that you get to church early and you pray for all your church leaders.
Uh-huh.
You pray for the pastor, the associate pastor, anybody else that's in a position of ministry, that they live a godly life and that God, they're listening to the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And I just found that, and I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And you people out there, before you complain about a pastor, you need to pray for them.
Yeah.
If you, your Bible study teacher is not toeing the line, pray for them. Before you criticize, pray for them.
Yes.
You know, we've all got stuff. We don't know what's behind that smile, but we've all got stuff, and they need your prayers.
And I think it's good, Barry. I'm glad you underscored that, because, you know, the last thing we want you, our listeners, to do is build up a head of steam and go racing into your pastor's office and start,
David,
you know,
Barry said,
start pounding him on the head or her on the head. I think it's important first you pray for guidance, you know, because the Lord has a way for everybody of dealing with issues, of presenting the truth. Now, ultimately, if you're called to speak the truth, you know it's God, you've got to do it. But this is so crucial today. God is moving in his church to change it to be more effective in a day where we are moving toward revival, big time. We're talking the biggest revival ever, probably in the history of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so the body of Christ has to be ready for that.
Right.
And we're not right now.
We're not, and you know, it's a whole other subject for another program, but we need to be united in this.
We do.
The divisions are of the evil one.
Yeah.
And we need to get our act together.
Yep. Now, if you're in a God-honoring church and you know your leaders are totally in Christ and totally doing what he wants to do with them, praise God.
Wonderful.
You know, you can still pray for them. You can, if you're involved in leadership ministry, that's great. Maybe if you feel a call from God to be involved in leadership ministry, then pray about it and then take the fruit of that prayer to your pastor.
There you go.
But again, you know, if you are aware, if you're not sure, if after hearing all this stuff, you're not sure, then you really need to pray and see, does God, do you want me to bring the truth? You know, or if not you, God send someone they will listen to.
Right.
You know, because it's critical today. You know, and as we said, if all else fails, ask God to lead you to another worshiping community.
That's right, because if you're not being spiritually fed, you're denying yourself.
Right.
You need to be spiritually fed.
That's right. And we should also add, as we hope you've been listening to us long enough, we know that we don't think we're the best thing since sliced bread or holy.
No.
You know, we serve a holy God, but Barry and I are just human beings who know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We seek to serve him. We pray. We study the word. Most of the time, we get it right.
Most
of the time. But, you know, we're human beings, too. It hasn't ceased for any of us.
We get in our own way sometimes, don't we?
Well, we do. Yes, we do. Oh, please don't remind me. just to say that, so we're not saying we stand above. We stand with those pastors that need to be strong leaders and need to know Jesus. We stand with you wherever you are, whatever you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We stand with you,
amen,
shoulder to shoulder, as members of the body of Christ. And, you know, we just have to say, if you're not sure you don't know Jesus, you probably don't know him. But it's not a problem if you would just go to him in the quietness of your own prayer time and say, Jesus, I'm not sure I know you. I want to know you. Come into my heart today. You know he will do that?
That's powerful stuff, David.
It is powerful stuff.
Simple and obvious, but it's powerful stuff.
Some people say, well, that's too simple. You mean there's no forms in triplicate that I have to fill out? No government agent's going to come by to interview? No. God forbid that should happen. You just ask him, you know, and get into the Word, because all this stuff we're saying, it's in the Word of God.
It's in that dusty Bible over there.
Yeah, really. Well, I hope it's not dusty. If it is, clean it off. Take it out of that box you put it in the garage or up in the attic, open it, crack it open,
mm-hmm.
You know, and then join a Bible study. If you're all alone, if you're not a member of a church, join a Bible study group. If you have a hunger for the Word of God, join other believers now. God will, again, lead you and participate, maybe listen for a while.
You just got to ask.
Just got to ask.
Lord, show me the way.
Amen, and he will. Because he keeps his promises, and that's what he says he'll do, and he'll do it. Well, friends, I hate to say this, but we are out of time.
Out of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any last words, my brother? I mean, for tonight, not for the end of your life.
These are my last words.
Really?
My last will and testament.
Last will and testament.
I would say in your prayer life, simply open up your heart. Empty yourself of all the stuff. Like David and I always say, we get in each other's way. You know, open up and with a open mind too.
Yeah.
And receive. That's the key word. Receive Christ.
Amen.
And you'll be amazed. You'll be absolutely amazed at what happens to your life.
It's a new life that begins then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, have a good night, morning, day, whatever whatever state you're in over there, and
yeah.
We will be talking to you next week.
Thank you. God bless you, David.
God, thank you, brother.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Living, he loved me.
Dying, he saved me. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word.
That we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified.
And receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move.
And his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
Sacred head. See.